Okay, we just got back from Expendables. We have thoughts. We must share them.
We must.
Overall opinion, Jim.
My overall opinion is... it's positive.
Yes.
Positive. I liked it. And to be a little more specific, I liked it towards the end. The beginning I felt was really slow. There was no badassery to be had anywhere at the beginning. But I think the point that it really picked up for me... and by the way, we're going to spoil the shit out of this, so if you haven't seen it, turn it off. I think the point...
On the other hand, I'll also say that I don't think anything we're going to say would really spoil the enjoyment of the movie. Because the plot is incomprehensible.
The plot doesn't matter.
Only is it convoluted and you don't know why, and we're going to talk about some of the misses of the movie. And I just before we blow on from the opinion.
Yeah.
So yeah, spoilers ahoy. I'm going to say that I liked it too. The last 20 minutes of the movie saved it, and that overall it was really a missed opportunity by Sly to bring back the badass genre. They could have done it. Yeah. If they had delivered that last 20 move, if they delivered two more 20 minutes like the last 20 minutes, it would have been amazing. But they just kind of missed the mark in a couple areas and wasted time that they shouldn't have.
Honestly, I think when it comes down to it, that's Stallone's style. When he's going to direct something, when he's going to write something, he's going to write it so that there is a story, and so there's meaning and a deeper connection to the characters. Whereas in this kind of movie, we really don't care about that, do we?
Not only that, but he seems to... Like, I noticed this in Rambo as well. He likes to have moral ambiguity. Uh-huh. And sometimes that really does ramp up the tension. But this time, I felt like I didn't know... Well, you want to talk about it?
Yeah.
Because one of my biggest problems with film is that they portray that, you got this drug lord... And somehow a rogue CIA operative has taken him over and installed him as a puppet ruler, even though he was the ruler before. he has this gang of 100 or so thugs, soldiers, that they are randomly brutalizing the entire island of this place. And again, oppression for no good reason, it seems to me. But
it's all for drugs.
At the end, they have this guy do this heel face turn where he's having a change of heart and he's going to be good, and he's giving this inspiring speech to his soldiers to where he's basically going to retake the island and, kick out the CIA guys and maybe turn the place around.
I didn't get that he was going to turn the place around. I just got that he was going to run things himself. That's what I got. Maybe I didn't hear all the...
Well, just that he's told his daughter, you're the person I should have been, and,
True.
She kind of had that smile, and then he's turning this, he's like, forgive me for being human and being selfish, I've let the Americans peddle their debt. And so then...
Dude, that's the power of a painting.
Yes.
Can't underestimate it.
Yes. But the funny thing is that... So they're kind of these guys are all turning around and maybe going to be good guys. And he gets shot in the middle of the speech by the CIA guy. And
kind
then the Expendables
abruptly.
Just proceed to lay waste to all of these soldiers who are just trying to repel a foreign army at that point. Their real beef is with the Americans, who are... They're only two guys at that point. They're trying to get to a helicopter. But they're just mowing through these... And I'm like, how am I supposed to feel about this? It kind of distracted me. Maybe I'm thinking too much, but he invited me to do so by trying to insert some kind of pseudo-intellectual moral ambiguity plot.
And I mean, that's been his style for forever. I mean, the latest Rocky and Rambo, obviously they have the more moral ambiguity, especially Rambo. I mean, shit.
Yeah.
He's in there killing people for some sort of good purpose.
Yeah, because they're Christian missionaries.
Yeah.
That he's protecting and...
Very ambiguous.
Yeah.
And then Rocky Balboa, I mean, he definitely had an emotional core to that.
Yeah, but it fit that movie.
Totally, yeah.
And also that movie worked because it was him coming to grips with being old. was a subtext of that movie.
Yeah.
Here, it's like, you know, he's back to being ultra badass.
Well, here I felt that the subtext was badasses. I mean, he's saying, look at all the effects that they have now, and like, these guys aren't really badasses.
Right.
We've got the Stallones. Well, you've got the trifecta there, Triforce. With Stallone, Arnold, and Willis there
in that
scene.
That's another disappointing point in the movie.
Yeah.
But continue your point.
I was just going to say that, like, you've got all these badasses who used to be, like, the main guys in Hollywood doing all the badass stuff, but they haven't been around. Like, you haven't seen them as much.
Sure.
And so now he's trying to show us what that was like again.
And the other thing is the moral ambiguity part. I just don't... you know, it's kind of like Jason Statham has a scene where he brutalizes a guy who slapped around his girlfriend.
Yeah, and...
Okay? I don't want to, like, right in the middle of the fight, discover that the fact that this guy's abusive towards women is because his mother molested him. And, you know, his father...
Were there some flashbacks I missed?
Yeah, his father shoves a flashlight up his ass, or, like, you know, that he has deep psychological issues. No, I want to know that he's a fucking scumbag that punched a woman, and now he's going to have justice meted out to him.
Yeah.
The bad guys need to be one-dimensional. You know, they need to establish that they're fucking evil, and that's... Rambo did that very well. Christian missionaries trying to help people one side... A bunch of fucking murderous drug dealing. They show these guys making peasants run through a minefield for sport. They're raping, gang raping women for entertainment. I mean, they're truly evil. No redeeming things. So you want to see Rambo kill these guys. Like I said, this moral ambiguity stuff doesn't fit in this type of movie. And that was a miss.
I agree. I do agree with that.
Anyway, let's talk specifics.
Anyway, okay, specifics. There were a couple of things just right up front that caught my eye. Like, not plot points, not anything crazy. First of all, the only guy on the planet who I could ever see clotheslining Sylvester Stallone to the ground is Steve Austin. I'm glad they had him as the bad guy. Because he's the only guy I could take seriously as a true threat to Sylvester Stallone in a hand-to-hand fight.
That's the biggest... Imagine if Commando, the guy Schwarzenegger's going across with Steve Austin.
No,
that would have taken
work.
That would have taken the movie to the next fucking level. What do you mean it wouldn't work?
It would work as a almost parody of the 80s badass movie genre, because that guy was just a total... He was covered in flab. He was a fake Mexican.
That's what I'm saying. Imagine if Steve Austin... had been that guy.
Oh, I thought you were saying other way around.
No, I mean, imagine how much
movie.
Better Commando would have been had, like, this oily American guy been the, you know, Cuban drug lord guy from the movie, the fake Mexican guy from Commando, and if Stone Cold Steve Austin was Bennett.
Absolutely.
I mean, that final fight would have had teeth in it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Instead, we got a guy in drag... with a fake mustache.
Yeah.
It's pretty bad. The other cool thing that popped out at me, totally unnecessary to punch a guy who's on fire in the face.
Yeah.
Totally unnecessary. Yeah. He's charred, he's black, and the guy comes through the flames, fist held high, and just clobbers him right in the mouth. Hilarious. I loved it. That was old school badass.
I liked it too. A related effect, not impressed with the digital fire effects, and
me
not impressed
either.
With the digital knives sticking out of people's chests.
You know the part that really was unimpressive? When they blew up the chateau or whatever they were in, the mansion?
Yeah.
Totally unimpressive.
Yeah.
The first explosion where it shows the actual building blowing up?
Yeah.
Lame.
Yeah.
It was all CG, it was bad.
And they did all the knife work, like when they stuck a knife in a guy's neck or in close range, and when they did that, it was all CG, and man... It's easy to make a practical knife stick out of a guy's chest, and it looks so much better because it's real.
Absolutely. And see, I thought that's what Sylvester Stallone was all about in this movie.
Yeah.
I was shocked to see digital effects.
And like, the red lasers. What the fuck was up with that?
Yeah, bad way to start. That immediately jumped out at me.
That really took me out of that first scene, which was kind of cool.
Could have been kind of cool, but
it needed to be cool. It needed to be a lot more intense.
Yeah, but, to really set the movie off. That's what I felt was lacking at the beginning of the movie, was the tone of get ready for some badass guys doing some badass stuff.
Yeah, and the fact that Dolph Lundgren was, like, batshit crazy and...
I thought that was kind of cool.
You did like that?
Yeah, I didn't get it until he was driving the car when he smashed the guy with his boot.
Right.
I thought it was cheesy, I thought it was over the top, but it got the point across that he's fucking insane.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, yeah, I thought that was cool.
I also didn't think it fit because it's like, hey, yo, man, we don't hang pirates. We blow them in half. We kill them with knives and guns, but we don't hang. It looked like even a dead pirate. I mean, like, what?
It was.
Who doesn't hang pirates? That's pretty much the traditional remedy for them.
Yeah, apparently that's not how they kill.
So, yeah, they kill with mass and ordnance.
Okay, there's a shitload of things that I want to talk about. Why don't we go to Terry Crews?
All right.
Sounds like a good place to go. Terry Crews, talked about this guy as the Old Spice guy.
Mm-hmm. He's not. Is he?
No, he's one of the Old Spice guys.
Oh, okay, I was going to say.
I think, or he's like an axe guy.
He's not the guy, though.
Okay. No. He's not the horse
guy. The dime. Look down. I've got diamonds.
I'm on a horse.
Yeah.
This guy could be a huge badass. Am I right?
Yes, he had the best lines and the arguably coolest scene
and
in the
coolest
movie.
Gun.
Oh, for which was the same. I mean, the coolest gun was the coolest scene, in my opinion.
Yeah, yeah. We should talk about that scene underground.
Yeah, like you kind of the heroes are crouched. They've laid down a solid smack of badass, but they're being overwhelmed. You haven't seen Terry Crews in this whole fight.
Yep.
You know, they're crouched behind his masonry wall, and there's like 30 guys in this hallway just raining down bullets, and you're like, oh, fuck, how are they going to get out of this? Terry Crews comes up from behind with this gun that he gave a little speech about.
Yeah.
These bullets.
And see, that is so reminiscent of me, or to me, of the scene from Predator when they're in the helicopter.
Yeah,
right. That totally made me feel like I was back in the 80s watching Predator.
You're right. And he's giving a speech about his bullets, his girlfriend, and, you know, blah, blah, blah.
And his knife. Yep.
And you see this gun is just... It sounds like a World War II flat gun. Just poof, poof, poof. And as every bullet hits this crowd of people, they literally fly. He said they would. But they literally fly into chunky red salsa.
Oh, they totally do. And they take...
That effect was amazing.
That effect was cool. They have one shot where they're down a side hall, and you hear all the sounds, you can see the light, and then all of a sudden, like, people start getting blown across the doorway.
Yeah. Like, their head is their head and their arms and their upper torso stay the same, and their legs stay the same, but everything from pelvis to nipple... gets turned into wet red mulch.
Yeah.
And explodes forward. And after he mows down these 30 guys, he screams at them, "Remember this at Christmas." Like, you know, put this fucking gun on your shopping list, dead dudes.
Yep.
And you won't be dead next time. I thought that was just great.
Absolutely. And he had some of the best lines. I thought Statham had a few good ones, too.
Yeah.
And actually, come to think of it, this whole movie, I think, is Stallone passing the torch to Statham. Because he's by far the youngest of all of them.
True.
And he's the only one who's been doing real badass stuff lately.
I've always said, why is Statham not a mainstream action star? He flirts with these, like, kind of almost like indie films.
And like parody almost.
Yeah, like Crank is badass. Mm-hmm. Everyone should see Crank and Crank 2.
Yes.
If you're a man, you'll love it. It's got sex and violence turned to 11. But it's not the Arnold Schwarzenegger, Bruce Willis roles that he needs to be like that top tier badass. And I think he's got it in him.
I think so. Actually, when I was watching it, I noticed he's significantly bulkier in this, isn't he?
Well, I don't know, man. Seen him in? I've never seen him anything less than cut and hulking,
except
for his first few Guy Ritchie films.
I've never seen him to be that big. Maybe I just...
I'll have to check it out, but...
I don't know. He looked huge in this one.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean that would be awesome.
Yeah, I think a lot of scenes, like especially the scene at the end where they kill the dude in the suit.
Mm-hmm.
I know at the beginning they were talking about which is faster, bullets or knives.
Right.
But they both kill the guy at the same time. Sylvester Stallone shoots him, and Statham puts a knife through his back.
Right.
And I think that's, like, him saying, this is my equal, like, this is my successor.
That'd be cool. Passing the torch. I mean, Arnold Schwarzenegger passed the torch to The Rock, and we see how well that worked out. But hopefully he'll, after stumbling, punching himself in the dick, he'll pick himself out of the dust after he's torn through his Disney contract and make some badass films. But
God, we can only hope.
Yeah, I mean, he'd be awesome for Expendables 2. Also, while we're on the subject, Stallone's pistol work was fucking insane. Like, he was firing those pistols like machine guns.
And not only him, Statham was, too.
But the way he worked those clips, like, boom, 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 and the old clip was falling down, he's just like, it was just...
Oh, yeah.
That was another really cool scene.
Yeah, he's the world's fastest reloader.
Did not like Jet Li.
Hold on, before we get off the weapon accuracy and skill, I just want to say, the scene where they're fighting underground and... Like, there's chaos going all around him, and Statham gets knocked to the ground, and the guy's, like, swinging around to shoot him, and he grabs the pistol, he shoots the guy in the leg, the guy falls, like, face first, and he shoots him in the neck from underneath.
That was badass.
And it happens within, like, half a second. It's just like, boom, boom.
I also liked when he blocked that dude's knife attack and then pulled out his pistol, like, right in his guy's stomach, while he held the guy's arm and just pumped this whole pistol into that guy's gut.
Yep.
That was vicious.
Pretty vicious. Okay, what did you want to talk about?
You want to talk about a couple other kind of missed opportunities that had Arnold Schwarzenegger for a cameo, where he was basically a rival, literally a rival badass to Stallone, which I thought when they set it up, that was going to be cool.
Yeah.
But number one, Arnold's fucking old.
Arnold looks old and
really
out of shape.
He really looks old.
Okay. I've seen Clint Eastwood pull it off, but... When you're going with the old man pants hiked up to your nipples, it's not a good look.
No.
The blazer over the hiked up pants, that's what Arnold was rocking.
I think they did that because he was not... He's in governor shape. He's not in for badass shape.
I agree and believe that easily.
But, so that, I thought... And it tied to that, Bruce Willis was in the same role. Mm-hmm. Holy Trilogy, and they were met in a church.
That's awesome.
I thought that was because Stallone's the one that called him that. I thought that was interesting the way they did that, the tied religious symbol. But it's like they bill Willis like he's in the fucking movie. Like Stallone was not, Schwarzenegger was not in the movie, wasn't billed. I knew he was a cameo.
Yeah.
I wanted more Willis.
Oh, me too. I've always thought that Willis, hands down, is one of the best badasses. I mean, part of the trifecta.
There'd probably been three times as many quotable lines in the movie had he been in there. Other thing is they went with a lot of solid badasses, but a lot of these badasses can't act. The only three people that could fucking act in this movie were Stallone, Terry Crews, and Jason Statham.
Couture.
Randy Couture. He cannot act. Horrible.
He's bad.
Jet Li cannot act. He is horrible.
But we've all known that for a long time.
But he's horrible and looks surprisingly old.
Yeah.
Dolph Lundgren was really a piss poor actor.
Yep.
And looked like he had some fucked up face job or something. I don't know. Like someone killed Dolph Lundgren and was wearing his face as a mask. Mickey Rourke, good actor.
Oh, very good actor, yeah.
So.
Mickey Rourke looked a little less in shape. See, that's another thing I didn't like. He looked less in shape. I thought everybody looked less in shape than they should have been.
I thought,
except for Stallone. Stallone is on the ball.
And
he's
Statham.
65
and
fucking
Statham.
Years
and
old.
And Statham. He looked...
And Statham, yeah.
He was in shape. But yeah, a lot of these guys...
Everybody who should have been bulking up and
slimming
down.
They wore suspiciously baggy clothing.
Yeah.
This should have been, on Predator, nobody fucking wore loose-fitting fatigues.
Most of the time, they had their shirt off.
Shit, no. They wore, they had a wife beater on at maximum.
Yeah.
But they were stripping down to the waist. Nobody stripped down to the waist except for Schwarzenegger, who got the world's fastest tattoo. Like, apparently he went away.
Stallone?
Yeah, Stallone. He left, like, one feather and three letters of this tattoo undone, and Mickey Rourke did it in a 15-second scene.
Oh, see, I thought he just left it undone still.
But why would he leave it?
Because he got interrupted, didn't he, by, what's his face?
No, it was done. Like, the Expendables was done, and the bird was finished. Yeah, so I thought that was... But
wow,
anyway, that's a minor
point. That was extremely fucking fast.
I like the fact that Mickey Rourke's girlfriend looked appropriately trashy. Like, a lot of times they make the mistake of, like, putting him with a girl who's, like, too good for him.
Like
in The Wrestler.
Tia, what's her face?
Who was that? But... There's no way he would get that girl in real life. He's just too... But that girl is exactly the type of girl he would pick up.
Yeah, I agree.
And I like that. I like that scene. What else we got to talk about?
Let's stick in that same scene there, Tools. Cauliflower ear. You want to talk about this guy?
Yeah, Randy Couture, he just doesn't... He couldn't act, and they gave him this extended speaking role that... Didn't pay off. He's talking about cauliflower ear, and they say, "So what's the point?" And he goes, "It's not easy being green."
Yeah, it's terrible. Nobody laughed.
It's not broccoli fucking ear.
What
was the point of that?
I think somebody, whoever wrote that, Sylvester Stallone or the other guy, just doesn't know what broccoli and cauliflower look like.
And Randy Couture just did not sell it.
No.
Like, the whole thing, he was supposed to be in therapy, and they were ribbing on him on that. I did not get it.
Didn't like him at all.
That whole scene. In fact, all of their meetings where they were like meeting as a team mm-hmm. fell kind of flat.
I agree. I think everything fell flat until they got to where they were scoping out the palace.
Yeah.
I think that is where it picked up when they got in that first fight.
Yeah, that was very badass. They came back stateside. Statham kicked the girlfriend beater's ass.
And I wanted to say about that scene... Statham put down some serious punches and groin kicks. Like, he racks some dude, like, punches him in the stomach and then gives him an uppercut in the balls.
Yeah, devastating to the boys.
And the final blow to end the fight,
yeah,
not the knife thing on the basketball,
right
before that, he fucking nails a guy in the head.
Right.
Knocks him to the ground just by brute force.
Right.
It was pretty amazing, actually. but then, yeah, he stabs the basketball, which I thought that was cool.
Uh-huh.
How it slowly deflated and he could have kept pressing.
Right, right. Yeah, he could have fucking had that guy's ass.
Yeah.
But, anyway, that was pretty cool. But that didn't really pay off because he never saw the girlfriend again. I mean, that was written there just to give him, yeah. Like I said, it's just the movie wasn't focused. I think he had a great idea. They had an awesome cast. They just needed a better script. Stallone.
Yeah.
what worked about the movie?
The, like you said, the last 20 minutes are pure badass.
There were a couple
of jokes that I found funny, like when they were underground and Sylvester Stallone was getting choked.
Uh-huh.
He's like, "How many men you got with you?" He's like, "Just your mother."
Yeah.
Which I fucking busted.
Yeah.
At that. That was hilarious.
Yeah.
And then he, like, chokes him some more and then says...
"Who are you working for?
Who are you working for?" And he said, or "Who called you in here?" He's like, "Your hairdresser."
Which he says that to Stone Cold Steve Austin,
exactly.
Who is bald. Like,
totally
Mr.
Bald.
Clean bald. That was brilliant. Yeah,
so,
I like that,
really
too.
Hilarious.
I like that, too.
But most of the jokes I thought felt flat.
Yeah.
So, probably just the badassery there from the palace on.
Right. And they need to stick with likable badasses. Dolph Lundgren was a miss because he's never been likable.
Yeah.
He's always been an asshole in everything he plays. Even the one thing I can remember him being kind of heroic is the Punisher, and he was still kind of an asshole in that, unsympathetic. And Jet Li's not really likable either. Every time that Terry Crews, Statham, Stallone, and Rourke were on the screen, the movie was solid gold.
Yep.
I think that they needed to ditch. Maybe Lee. They needed to ditch Lee for Willis. That would have been a major upgrade, right?
Wow. That would have been a huge upgrade.
Okay, here's what they should have done. Ditched Lee, put in Willis, and then Willis's role should have been played by Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yeah.
They should have got him a nicely tailored suit, sat him, you know, and have him smoking a cigar and sit behind a desk and given these guys their assignment. That would have been fucking awesome.
Yeah, I can get behind that. While you're mentioning all these people, I wanted to also remark about how interesting it was to see everyone fighting in their own style. Like, every time someone would fight Steve Austin, it would be wrestling moves.
Yeah.
Every time someone fought Jet Li, it's, like, a lot of fast karate, whatever, wushu that he's doing. And whenever Sylvester Stallone fought anybody, it was just fucking ass-beating.
Right.
It was like, pound you, now you pound me.
Right, right. Trade haymakers.
Exactly. I thought that was so cool how you just had that.
And Statham did all the crazy transporter shit with, like, gun kata, and I like that, too. And
Yeah. So they played to everybody's strengths there.
Exactly.
I don't know that I have anything else to say about it other than, I guess, it was a good reminder of what badass used to be.
Yeah. Needed more badass. Needed less loose-fitting, bulky clothing.
Needed also less flat jokes.
Yeah.
Those are pretty bad.
It's not hard to make badass one-liners.
No.
Maybe it is harder than we imagine.
Chicken and broccoli, if that can be a badass one-liner.
Yeah.
I think anything can.
It just needed to push. It needed to take the bat. This badass throttle is stuck at 6.
Yeah.
It needed to be cranked to 11. And, you know, I think maybe if they get... It sounds like they're going to make an Expendables 2.
That'll be cool.
They can tweak it up and, you know, take the... I think the criticism I've seen of the movie is entirely accurate.
Yeah.
Jokes fell flat. Some of the guys were kind of miscast, tried to just squeeze them in there. And the plot was kind of loosely unfocused. And they didn't have... They needed 2 or 3 more set pieces as big as the end one.
Yep.
It just felt like the end came out, and I was just talking in the gym on the way home, before that end came, I was like, holy shit, am I going to be disappointed in this movie? The end was so awesome, it turned it around, and now I like the movie, but it should have built there. It went from zero, there was no foreplay. It almost went from zero to holy shit badass in the space of that one scene.
Yeah, I agree with that. I was myself sitting there thinking, I'm not going to like this movie. That it's half an hour in and I haven't been impressed.
And it's been a long time that I've not wanted to like a movie. I've not wanted to not like a movie that badly. Probably I have to go back to Phantom Menace, where I was sitting through kind of like I'm kind of like nervous for the movie. Like I'm watching my child perform a piano recital.
Yep.
And like, that note wasn't right. Oh, is he even playing the right piece? Did someone tune this fucking piano? And that's how I felt through the first about half of this movie.
Yeah.
Like, okay, he's getting in his rhythm. Oh, you know.
Yep.
So.
Agreed. I think that's all I've got to say about it. What about you?
Nope. Mixed reviews are right, but definitely it's worth the seeing.
I agree.
You can totally arrive 45 minutes late to this movie, not miss a thing.
That is true.
That's not a joke. Nothing that happens prior to 45 minutes of this movie means a fucking thing.